Don't worry. Your world does not end until your culture is sideloaded and education is ineffective. Think of education and culture as a language. If you don't speak it, if you don't protect it, if you don't pass it on, it will go extinct. It makes perfect sense. Sideloaded cultures, such as religion, slavery, forced political systems, to sample across human history, are not evolved, they are designed. The difference between an evolved culture and manually crafted one is the same as the pet you get for Christmas and the pet abomination you try to make yourself. An evolved culture is tuned through life, love, wisdom, rising, and greatness. A made-up culture is just an abomination. A divine leader fantasy that cannot help but to deteriorate into atrocities, slavery, war, sacrifice, and all the horrible things that make-believe leaders always do. Our real culture rose to 7 heights, just about. Heroes, philosophers, noble knights, the lady and the gentleman, the artists, intellectuals, and scientists. Each one develops from the previous. It is an evolution, though as evolutions go, not as direct as I make it out to be. Likewise, our education is not as separate from culture as it seems, until it comes to its standardization and collapse. You can easily see side-loaded cults, religions, or even internet nonsense as being separate from ineffective education today. Perhaps we can think of it as an emergent divide and conquer, the unfraying of our beautiful humanity. This path of good intention and least resistance that ruined our genius and authentic education will lead an uneducated humanity through weak cultures into endless ends. The so-called leaders along the way will tell their yes men, "Look how uneducated they are. They failed their many cultures. Behold how they need us, how they need a strong leader like me. We must ensure that my son will be elected after me." What do they want? They want the same thing teenage boys want when they fantasize about owning an expensive supercar that nobody else can afford. They want recognition, status, power, uniqueness, followers, bootlickers, and ass-kissers. They want to destroy the soul of an intern as their shitty wives forgive them. They want to squeeze community so hard with poverty that they can give speeches about bringing super predators to heel. They want your children to die in prison for throwing a disgusting punk concert in a holy church. They want your children to give up love and shame, perhaps for state-sanctioned dating apps. Because the only love there is the love for the leader, the god, and the country, especially during wartime. They want your children in work camps, perhaps permanently, for mentioning that the leader is human and uses the bathroom. They will take street heroes and weave them into divine that only they have divine comprehension of. They will burn, vaporize, anything that stands in their way and call it Tuesday, unable to comprehend the suffering and loss, but appreciating the number figures that their yes men congratulate them on. They want to rob you of thinkers until you Start destroying them too, with pleasure and zest and conviction, the weaving of lies that must be true. Ozymandias no longer holds true. We are that close to life extension. They want things that you really cannot comprehend. Because your life is hard. You are already made poor on purpose. And their life is enjoying what they can get away with. The truth is that the leaders, the ones at the center, unravel first. In their madness, your leaders want childish things. But wait, there is more. What do you want when you send your children to ineffective schools? What do you want when you wallow in a paradise after death fantasy? What do you really want for continuing to ask to have your sins forgiven? Because what you get as you lay in bed is news about your grandkids. That in your last day show you that what you got is what you deserved. But every day is a new day. And tomorrow morning, as any morning, you can make a choice to help your children grow. Help them reconnect with the culture of heroes, philosophers, noble knights, the lady and gentleman, and the artists and intellectuals and scientists. Take your grandkids to the store and buy them a laptop and a wall projector and watch them. For the next few days, as they paint hyperrealism in shades of umber that they then glaze with color. As it dawns on them that the genius is well within their reach, that it's human. All too human. You can help them see how Socrates, already 2,400 years ago, represented breaking out of control that offended the state and had to be killed off by the hands of infantile people who wanted nothing more than their naughty idiocracy. You have to help your children to genius and to the culture of greatness. Do not say that they will find peace in the church. Tell them that to grow up means to grow all the way up, until, in the countless layers of their authentic genius, they become great beings. You are not poor. You are not dumb. You have not been born a sinner in want of paradise. Respect the true human culture. The culture of authentic learning and resulting greatness. Take no part in the destruction of this world. There cannot be a paradise greater than your days here. Rise. Rise. I met a traveler from an antique land who said, "Two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert, Near them, on the sand, half-sunk, shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them, and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal, these words appear.
My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair.
Nothing besides remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away.